Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to yet another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank in Alpharetta. Folks, if you need help curing the headaches of administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, maybe you need a presentation prepared, go engage a smart and reliable Office Angel. They're not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels, folks, who have the talent and experience, that's why they're angels, necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms, your timeline. They lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. So go find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. And I promise you, you will be glad you did because they've got a great team there. Today, I want to welcome Charlie Brown. Charlie is the CEO of the newly formed Loyal Trust Bank in Johns Creek. Charlie, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. And you're a rarity.
How so?
One of two banks chartered in the last 10 years in Georgia. Congratulations happening.
That is absolutely true. You're right. That does make us a rarity.
Yeah, but we'll talk about why that is here in a minute. But give folks an overview of you and Loyal Trust Bank.
Well, as you mentioned, we are the only bank that is headquartered in Johns Creek, Georgia, and one of the few banks in North Fulton County as a community banker, as we call it, our international headquarters.
I love that.
So, really our tagline is your multicultural community bank. We had a group of individuals get together. They had worked at it for about 2 years and had decided that we needed a bank that was truly multicultural. And Johns Creek looked to have some opportunity in it because there was not another bank there at the time. And about a year ago, they found me just as I was ready to go start a bank in Charlotte, North Carolina, despite being from Florida at the time. Mm-hmm. And I saw this as a unique situation as well as a niche that they would be filling.
Sure.
So off we went. We rode through the process, which has quite a few phases to it. You know, you go through your regulatory phase, which is the approving of the process, then raising your capital, and certainly then opening the bank.
Yeah, so I want to get into the multicultural aspect of your bank and why that's important in a second, but let's talk about just the problems in opening a bank these days. I mean, you were telling me a few things offline that it's a lot tougher to open a bank these days.
It's a challenge because it has been more than 10 years. And mm-hmm. not only in this market, but in many markets across the country, some of the regulators themselves that were there when they were opening banks are no longer. They've retired. They've moved on. Many of the vendors don't have the it's called a de novo bank. It's
sure.
a startup. Do not have the de novo teams in place that they once did. So I started another bank about 13 years ago in Sarasota, Florida, and the process was so significantly different. I often speak to the other bank in Georgia that started most recently to see what his opinion of it was, because he had also started a bank before, and we couldn't get over the similarities. And the only conclusion we could come to was really twofold. One, technology has evolved
right.
over that period of time, so right. there's more expected day one. But secondly, the vendors just weren't set up for de novo banks or new bank startups.
Sure, sure. So it sounds like there was some you had to kind of phase in your operations because even the vendors themselves are having issues because they're not used to just new banks starting, right?
You do, and we are very fortunate. We have a strong staff, so they were able to think some of the things through for
That's
some
awesome.
Of the vendors.
Yeah.
And cut many of the time frames really by half and sometimes mm-hmm. even further. And I compare that to some of the updates, not that I get from banks around here, but some out of state, that took literally months before they could even issue debit cards.
Wow. So, Charlie, talk about the reason for your the business case for the bank, the multicultural aspect of what you offer. We know that Johns Creek is increasingly a multicultural place. Lots of different drivers for that community. Talk about that.
This group had done their homework. Mm-hmm. They had looked at the demographics. They had taken a hard look at what part of the demographics were growing. And while we've had other banks, Asian American banks, start in the market, none of them had been quite as multicultural as what this bank, this group has been. You know, sitting on the board and in the ownership, we have both Korean and Chinese, African American and Caucasian. Mm. So right out of the gate, we were very different than some of the other banks that, let's say, focus maybe on the Korean community, business community. So I like to say we're a multicultural bank with a focus on the Asian American market and businesses. So when you look at the bank, we're not trying to compete with Bank of America for every consumer line of business and in credit cards or high volume business, but we customize our accounts, we customize the loans for the small and moderate sized businesses in the area.
And one of the things you were telling me, and you can share as much of this as you'd like, but that the board of the bank had really done a great job by the time you arrived in terms of raising the capital they needed. So that tells you something about the demand for this kind of bank.
Well, it does. It does. And even, there's even more to it than that. So one of the largest obstacles and one of the reasons you're not seeing as many community banks start up as you once did was is the ability to raise capital. I know of many banks in the state of Florida that started and then had to stop because they just could not find the interested investors. Mm-hmm. And there's some history and some good reason for that. This group, not only had they raised 50% of the capital amongst themselves, mm-hmm. but once we started the capital campaign and the pent-up demand that I saw, it took us 57 days to raise the minimum capital. And the reason that's remarkable, there are some banks in the country starting up that are taking 6 to 9 months to raise the minimum capital.
Oh, wow.
Now, it also struck me as interesting. I mean, we did press conferences, not just a press release, but a press conference where you would have members of the press show up, television cameras, photographers, and we did a handful of these where I just saw a tremendous amount of excitement around the capital campaign. So once we finally got the green light from the regulators to do it, sure enough, it took off and closed out relatively quickly.
Mm. Folks, if you just joined us, we're speaking with Charlie Brown. Charlie is the president and CEO of Loyal Trust Bank, based in Johns Creek. So you have to ask the question, lots of banks around. What makes Loyal Trust different other than some of the things that you've talked about?
It really, you know, there is not a product in banking that's going to be all that significantly different from one bank to the next. So it gets back to the people. Each and every time. When you walk into our office or if we call on you, you have the entire executive management team right there in Johns Creek and in North Fulton County. You have the entire board of directors located in the same area. I've often told any employee that comes to work for a bank such as ours is the standard of excellence when it comes to customer service has got to be at its highest point because a customer – has the ears of every member of the board of directors and every one of the executives there. And sometimes that takes some people a little bit of getting used to. But I can assure you this, when someone banks with us, the word that we hear over and over again is comfort. They feel very comfortable dealing with our bank, and they feel like they have the best setup when it comes to their loan or the deposit. Again, we sit down and do an analysis for your business account, as an example, to make sure you have the right type of business account, to make sure that you're aware of some of the alternatives. I'll never forget one of our own board members sitting in on one of the technology presentations for our bank before we started and said, I love that feature. I love this feature. I would like to have this product. And we said, you actually already have this product from another bank right now, but they've never shown this person how to use it. So I think that makes a big difference. Instead of just shoving a product out there and saying, glad you're banking with us, we have to get on to the next customer. Mm-hmm. Our people want to make sure that our customers are able to optimize what they've been given.
Now, that's a really interesting story, Charlie, because what that gets at is a lot of the really large banks, what they focus on in terms of their competitive advantage is their technology.
And that's funny because it's actually the polar opposite.
Yeah.
Think about a motorboat in a large ship.
Okay.
It's very hard to turn the large ship, and technology is something that's very quickly evolving.
Sure.
And so often, not always, but often the large banks have a very difficult time keeping up with technology because it's tough to turn that ship. That's the entire reason something called fintech exists, is you have these smaller companies that can move very quickly. In fact, I think there was a quote by Jamie Dimon when Square came out that he was ashamed that they had not come up with it first, that they should have.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were able to do in starting a new bank is speak to some of these smaller technology companies and adopt or adapt, if you will, some of the latest and greatest technology that's out there. So it always struck me as strange. You're right. There's been a common belief that the larger banks must have bigger technology.
Right.
I'll give you a second quick war story.
Please.
I'm on the golf course with a senior executive from one of the largest banks in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, gosh, we're having a hard time with regulators on this particular issue. And I said, well, what are you doing? And he said, I've got, you know, 30 of the best MBAs right now trying to work with some of the coders to create this program and code and take care of this issue. And I said, well, there's this product with this little company named XYZ. And I said, and if you buy it, I said, it will be regulator repellent. And he did. 3 weeks later, he says, my goodness, we had some of the biggest consultants in the world in trying to help us through this. We've now plugged that in place. He said, everything is smoothed over. And I told him I'll send him my bill in the mail.
Of course.
But that's a good example. That sometimes when you're trying to home cook everything because you believe you're a large organization, it may not be the best when there's a smaller company that has already come up with that solution. So my job is to stay in touch with those type of alternatives and those types of solutions and then make sure we can plug and play them within our organization.
Well, and we're going to get off big banks in a second, but the big banks are really risk averse when it comes to dealing with anything new, right? I mean, that's really what drives decision-making sometimes is risk aversion. It's like the old thing about we're going to pick IBM because that's the least risky name. We don't have to worry about our jobs if we make that recommendation, right? But if you're recommending some small fintech company like Stripe, for example, as you mentioned,
right.
Nobody wants to bring that one forefront, right?
Well, you're right, but I'll defend them to some degree.
Okay.
I will share this with you. The regulators expect us to go through the same level of due diligence that any large bank does. So, I mean, there is a vendor risk assessment program that is put in place that makes us jump through those same hoops.
Yeah.
So I think you are correct. That might have been more the case in the past, but I think rightfully so. The regulators have pushed that down onto the smaller banks to say, hey, don't just run in because it is the latest and greatest. Make sure that you've checked out the financial stability, the backups, you know, what type of impact it may have if this company can no longer operate on your business.
Folks, we're speaking with Charlie Brown, President CEO of Loyal Trust Bank. So let's get back to Loyal Trust Bank, much more interesting topic than big banks. Talk about product focus. I mean, you mentioned being oriented toward business. Talk about the kinds of businesses you're looking for and the kind of products that you'll focus on for those businesses.
We have focused on the loan side, primarily on commercial real estate, both office, industrial, manufacturing facilities, whether it be owner-occupied or investment. And that's an area that a lot of banks, large and small, have either filled their buckets up with or have steered away from because due to a lack of expertise. I'm very pleased with the team that we have. They know their way around that market. And then, you know, following that would be your typical business commercial products. We don't do as many equipment loans and working capital lines of credit, but that certainly is there in the one of the arrows in the quiver. On the deposit side, I'm very pleased, and we've come out of the gate with business bill pay, remote capture, which I can't stand that term in banking, but what that simply means is for a very large business, if they are still accepting checks for payment, they've got a scanning machine in their business where they scan the checks and it goes directly into their account.
Mm.
In fact, the example I gave you earlier, the war story was when this board member saw the particular technology that we've picked up, they said, well, goodness, I would never have to issue a check again out of my business. And I said, you shouldn't have to. There should never be a time when you have to write another check out of this business. And I remember this person had their CFO in the room, said, okay, our next goal is to never issue another check from this business. So we've adapted some of that technology. We've also put in place for some of the larger, if you will, investors or depositors, whether it be business or consumer, a product called CDARS, which is the Certificate Deposit Account Registry Service. And not every bank promotes that or has it available. But what that means is you can get FDIC insurance over the $250,000. Quite candidly, you can get it all the way up to, if you wanted to, $10 million if the bank is willing to do that.
Oh, wow.
And it's a registry service where you use other banks' FDIC insurance to cover those deposits. So we've seen that be very popular. But primarily, it's just having the technology that works and allows people to do more and more online. Our mobile banking, let's say that you're using for either a small business or yourself, if you want to draw a circle on your phone and say, I only want my debit cards to be accepted within this circle because that's the only place I shop. And if anybody's trying to use that number outside of this circle on this map, it should be declined. We have that service. Not all of the banks. In fact, very few of the large banks do have that type of service to that degree.
Wow. That's technology right there. Now, you mentioned the strength of your board. You've got a pretty strong staff. You alluded to that in talking about getting started. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can brag on them a little bit.
Well, I talk about the board from the standpoint that we have a doctor, a neurologist mm-hmm. on our board, certainly helps us in the medical community. Mm-hmm. We have a well-known attorney, John Lewis. He deals with all types of law. He's also been a bankruptcy trustee before, which is very good because that's a job where you always worry about where someone might be hiding the assets, so to speak.
Sure.
But Dr. Wang is a neurologist with our group, does a fantastic job. We have a couple of manufacturers on our board as well. One that supplies the auto industry, another one that deals in the jewelry industry. And then our chairwoman, Rose Jarboe, is a commercial real estate specialist. She not only manages real estate, purchases, sells, and develops, but through a company called We Partner. And she's been a huge help when we're looking at any type of real estate project. We have a former bank regional director for the OCC, Bill Abernathy, also, which helps guide the board throughout the process. And last but certainly not least, we have a fintech specialist, Bo Shin. He is known worldwide as one of the leaders in fintech and cryptocurrency.
Oh, wow.
Now, we're in no place to be doing cryptocurrency as of yet, but it certainly does open that gate of that avenue of expertise should we ever need it.
That's awesome. Charlie, I mean, I almost hate to ask it, but I got to ask it because it's current today, coronavirus.
Yes.
So there's an impact. We all know. I would think you're kind of on a little bit of the front end of that because you're dealing with Asian American owned businesses that may export from China, Korea, et cetera.
No, that's very true. We've already seen a couple of incidents where we've had loan clients or prospective loan clients where when we dig into the big picture, they will share with us that their manufacturing facility that they might own in China has been forced to be shut down. And unfortunately, that's an immediate disruption in their supply chain.
Sure.
And it's hard for them to change to another one because that was something they were manufacturing themselves. So we've had put some things on hold as they have. So I was surprised to see the impact that quickly. But because we are a multicultural bank, we are going to feel more of that more quickly, I'm certain. Then, of course, we're starting to see some businesses that you wouldn't think have been impacted, but all of a sudden they were. Even food businesses. So you think, well, food's got to come from a closer resource. Well, sometimes it's the materials that they use to operate the restaurant within that business. So I do think we're in for an interesting ride. You know, banks are required to put certain contingency plans in place, and I think everyone will ride this out.
Mm-hmm.
No one seems to know how long this might last or if we've seen the peak. I haven't heard a whole lot of people feel as though we're at the peak stage as of yet.
Right.
But you even see, as we've seen it in the stock market. Now, I know there's supposed to be a rebound today. We had a very large down day yesterday. But that impacts folks, their ability to invest in other businesses, whether it be angel funds, venture capital, or even in other banks.
Right.
I'll recall when I started my last bank in 2006, when the market hit the skids in 2008, I had investors thanking me because they had invested in me and they were avoiding the big market downslide.
Sure.
So, the key to everything is to see some stable markets, whether it be the stock market, the supply chains, or the regulatory environment. Mm-hmm. And I'm certain that the regulators are going to continue to talk to the different banks to make sure everyone does have the contingency plans in place should this continue to escalate.
And, of course, one of the impacts we've had is truly record low interest rates. We thought we were at record lows, and then, here comes another cut, and we're across the yield curve at all-time lows. How does that impact your business?
It does. It does impact the business. A bank makes money by taking different levels of risk and mm-hmm. managing that risk. A bank is not in the business to be risk averse. One of the ways a bank does make money is off of a steeper yield curve. Mm-hmm. You have the lower end and the higher end, and it'll take a certain degree of measured risk. When you have a flat or inverted yield curve, it literally takes one of the tools off the table.
Mm-hmm.
So it puts a lot more pressure on the bank to manage the bank very, very much from a thrifty side of things. You've got to keep cost controls in place, and you have to keep your growth at a very moderate pace. The one thing you don't want to do is have explosive growth when you've got a yield curve challenge in place, because that will be stuck with you for a very long period of time. Mm. If you go back to the 80s, we had the SNLs that were lending 15 years and 30-year fixed-rate money it depends on what part of the 80s, but at lower rates, and they were funding that with one-year CDs.
Right.
As rates finally shot back up, they were upside down, and that was a big part of the SNL crisis. So the only thing I could, share with you is if you looked at the rate movements between 2006 and 2012, they didn't move barely at all. Mm. And I ran a bank through that era. And I remember thinking to myself, because I was CEO of another bank during the 90s when we had a lot more movement, it was much more difficult. But we have done it. We've done it before, and we'll be able to do it again. It's just a slightly different way of landing the airplane.
Folks, we're speaking with Charlie Brown. He's the CEO of Loyal Trust Bank. And Charlie, this has been great. Anything else before we wrap it up, anything else you want to say about the kind of folks you want to do business with? You talked a little bit about the kind of businesses you're after and the kind of loans you're interested in making, but is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
Well, I think anyone that appreciates high touch, person-to-person business, customization if needed, and then we've certainly sprinkled in some high tech as well. So in my mind, you get the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to get, again, customized product both on the loan side and on the deposit side, which is something not a lot of banks can do for you. So with our focus on a multicultural community, the Asian American markets, as well as the business community, be it small business or moderate-sized business, in all of Atlanta, those are the folks that we find to be the best fit for us and us the best fit for them.
That's awesome. So we can't let you go, though, without letting people know how to be in touch. If you've said something that sparks their interest, we want to get them to you. So tell them how they can be in touch with you.
Absolutely. First of all, you can go through our website at loyaltrustbank.com, or you can call my direct number at 678-506-5728. I'd be more than happy to speak with you and make sure that either I handle your request or one of our experts on staff.
Charlie Brown, he's the president and CEO of Loyal Trust Bank. Thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome. Enjoyed it.
Folks, we got to talk about another bank close to home. You're connected more than ever today, whether it's your friends, your family, or your life. Renasant, where we're located, understands how you bank, offering mobile banking services that you need. And they also know that sometimes you want to speak to real people with real answers and real offices that you can actually find them. That's why they have more than 190 convenient locations throughout the South ready to serve you. For more information, go to renasantbank.com, Renasant Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And just a reminder that you can find this show on any of the major podcast apps. That would include Apple, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, iHeartRadio. You can even find us on YouTube, folks. Yes, we're pretty ubiquitous. So whatever your favorite podcast app is, search for North Fulton Business Radio and you'll find us there. You can also follow us on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. North Fulton BRX is the handle on all three of those platforms. So for my guest, Charlie Brown, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Renaissance Rewards Extra is the checking account that checks all the boxes. Roadside assistance? Check. Cell phone insurance? Check. More than 400,000 local shopping discounts? Check. Up to $25 per month in ATM refunds and a great rate? Check. All in an easy-to-use mobile app. To open an account or find out more about Renaissance Rewards Extra Checking, go to renaissancebank.com or visit us at any of our more than 190 locations throughout the South. Renaissance Bank. Understanding you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.